Thank you, sister, for that beautiful song. Very meaningful words. Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, I Give You My Word. What does it mean when someone tells you, I give you my word? Or if somebody says to you, let's shake on it. Let us grasp each other's hand, and as a sign that we both agree, or something, or in such a deal, or a contract, or a covenant. What is a covenant? The word covenant is not usually heard in a normal conversation. In today's life, we don't hear people using the term covenant that often. But it is quite frequently used in legal matters, in legal documents, also in ceremonies like marriages, in religious and theological contexts, the word covenant is used. The idea of covenant, the term covenant comes from the Latin expression says, convenire. Those of you that speak Spanish or speak Portuguese or Italian, can I have an idea that con means with, venire means to come. So the actual meaning of the word covenant, which it means is coming together. People becoming one. One in purpose, one in commitment. It presupposes two or more parties who come together to make a contract, agreeing on promises, privileges, and the part that people have a hard time with is the requisites and responsibilities. Most contracts, people, when they see the promises, when they see the privileges, they are very enthusiastic about the part that they don't like about the contract sometimes, or the covenant, is the requisites, responsibilities. Every contract, every covenant, involves promises, privileges, but also requisites and responsibilities. It is used many times in the Bible. In the first portion of the Bible that some most people call the Old Testament, I like to just to call the first portion of the Bible, is used over 280 times, the word covenant. 33 times in Greek, in the news, the second part of the Bible, which we call the New Testament. This, in political situations, it can be translated as a treaty. But in a biblical sense, the word has a sense of a bonding together. In a biblical union between a man and a woman, it means a lifelong marriage agreement. George Fox and Kim Tribble are two songwriters that they wrote a song and they published this year. It's a country song. I'm going to read it just the chorus part. The title of the song is I Give You My Word. This song is very appropriate for marriage ceremonies. This is what the chorus says. I give you my word. I swear that I will love you until time stands still. Forever I am yours, for better or for worse. I stand before God and give you my word. Oh, I do give you my word. Yes, there is very specific moments in our lives that we make promises, we make covenants. We make covenants as we join someone in marriage. We make promises as we join the Church of God in baptism. We make covenants as we get a new profession. If you, for example, you are a lawyer, you have to make the vow. If you are a doctor, you have to make the vow. Recently, we participated in a ceremony in Loma Linda when my daughter-in-law was receiving the white coat because she's studying to be a dentist. And we saw the vow, the promises, the covenant that they were making. A covenant of integrity to those that they would choose to serve with their profession. That is the same thing with pastors as we ordained into the ministry. Here are some, usually what people say when they like to express agreement. Okay, you probably heard this a few times in your life. Number one, it says, I agree with you 100%. And sometimes people want to be even more emphatic, that is so, they agree so much, they will say even something that doesn't make any sense, but they will say, I agree with you 1,000%, to emphasize that I really, really agree with you. A second expression I'd like to share with you, it says, I couldn't agree with you more. In other words, there's nothing else. I go to the top, to the maximum. I agree with you 100% to the top. Another expression says, that is so true. Oh, that's so true. That's for sure. And then there's language that says, tell me about it. Wow, tell me about it. Or number six says, you are absolutely right. And you need to see the expression because they don't want to say with the words, but you can see the face, the expression, you can read in their eyes when they say, you are absolutely right. Or just say, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Number eight says, that is exactly how I feel. That is precisely how I feel. Is exactly. Another one is, I'm afraid I agree with him. Or number 11, I have to side with them on this one. And of course, the last one I would like to use just to illustrate our point, it says, no doubt about it. There's no doubt, there's no question about it. Now, as we think about the word as a sign of a covenant, as a sign of a promise, as a sign of a commitment, as a sign of a contract, a treaty, we have to think about God giving us His word. And when He gives us His word, He hoped that we keep it, because there will be no covenant, there will be no contract, there will be no relationship between us and God unless He keeps His word, which we know that He will, but that we also keep His word. And let's study the Word of God and understand more specifically what is keeping His word is all about. God gave us His word, the Bible says, in John chapter 1, verse 1. Would you please, at this moment, I'd like to make a pause here. I hope at this moment, each one of you have the word of God in your hands. And think about what the sermon title is. I give you my word. So please, if your Bible is not in your hands right now, go take a moment, go and get your Bible. Everyone, get your Bible. Bring your Bible and hold it into your Bible as we go through this message today. And I want you to think all the time as you hold your Bible that God is speaking to you and saying to you, I give you my word. But He gives His word to you for you to keep it. Not just to put in a shelf, put in a briefcase, or put in another place and never look to it. No, He says, I give you my word because He wants to talk to you. He wants you to keep His word. He wants you to live and find life in His word. He wants you to feed from His word because it is the bread of life. So I hope you have your word right now, right? All of you? Okay. So let's read John chapter 1, verse 1. I have in front of me here three Bibles. I'll talk to you about them because they have very special meaning to me. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, when John was saying this, he was thinking about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning. The word in the beginning, the verb used there in Genesis in Hebrew is bara. Bara is not only creating, but it is a word that creates. As the word speaks, the words create. And John makes this relationship, this relation between the word as Christ, the Creator, as the Word speaks, and everything comes to existence. So actually, he's talking about here the Word as Abba, the Creator. And the Word is Abba. And I give you my Word. I give you Abba himself in a human flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14, New King James as well, he says, and the Word, now you know the Word is Abba, the Word who creates, became flesh and dwelt among us. And he beheld his glory, the glory as the only begot of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. If you open your Bibles in Hebrews 13, verse 8, sometimes I feel guilty because as a pastor, I read so many Bible verses, and sometimes maybe I don't give you time to look up to those verses. Please, the Word, you need to hear the Word, but you need also to search the Word. So open your Bibles, please, in Hebrews 13, verse 8. I have in front of me the New King James Version. Have you found it? Hebrews chapter, way close to the end of your Bible. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Paul, as you know, wrote the book to the letter to the Hebrews. He says, Jesus Christ, which is the Word, according to John 1:1, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, it is the same today, and is the same forever. That's why we can trust his Word. Because his Word is the same yesterday, his Word is the same today, and his Word is the same forever. Amen to that. So we can trust his Word. So when he gives you his Word, he gives you the everlasting Word, and he does keep his Word, so he expects you to keep yours. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, Malachi is close to Matthew, just the one before Matthew, okay? So you find Malachi. Malachi 3, verse 6. I'm so also using the New King James for this verse. Have you found Malachi 3, verse 6? I can imagine all those, the sound of the flipping of the pages. That's something that I miss when we meet together at church. We can hear the pages, the sound of the pages. That is a beautiful, that's a glorifying sound in the ears of the Lord. So Malachi 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. And by the way, this is so vital for anyone who claims to have the Word of God, anyone who claims to respect the Word of God, anyone that intends to keep the Word of God. One of the most important principles, and this is the principle the reformers were thinking about when they said sola scriptura, only the Bible only. Unfortunately, the Protestant church and the reformers did not keep that promise, did not keep that commitment. Today they go to church on the wrong day, and they have accepted so many heresies that has nothing to do with the Bible. So when they claim that they believe in God's Word, but they are not keeping God's Word. And sadly, they are not. Malachi said again, I am the Lord, I do not change. Remember, the Lord is the Word, and the Lord does not change, because God cannot change. The one who gives the Word does not change, because the Word is what He gives. He gives Himself to us. Ecclesiastes, okay? Go back, close the book of Psalms, just ahead of the book of Psalms, you'll find Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. Now I will be using the New Century Version. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I hope you have a paper close to you, and I hope you start taking notes of those texts. And then when you keep wondering yourself, what do I do this afternoon? Why don't you get your family around the table and talk? Talk about the Word. And promise to each other that you will keep His Word. Isn't that wonderful? You can do this as a family. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that everything God does will continue forever. People cannot add anything to what God has done. And they cannot take anything away from it. God does it this way to make people respect Him. Nothing that God does can be changed. Everything He does will continue forever, is everlasting, because that's His nature. God is good, so what He does is good. God is eternal, what He does is eternal. His Word is eternal because He is eternal. His Word is holy because He is holy. His Word is pure because He is pure. His holy. His Word fails not because He fails not. Proverbs 30. Now close also to Ecclesiastes. Just back a little bit towards, going to your left a little bit more. Proverbs 30. Chapter 30 of Proverbs, verse 5 and 6, New King James Version. It says, every word of God is pure. How many? Every single word, just like the scripture today. All the scriptures is inspired by God. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. And verse 6 says, do not add to His words, all brothers and sisters. How many Christians, so-called Christians today, are guilty of that? Because the Bible says one thing, God's Word says one thing, and they add something else to try to change the meaning because it's their convenience. But look what it says. Lest He rebuke you, and you be found a liar. And by the way, liars won't be in heaven. There is no place for liars in heaven. And the Bible says clearly, Jesus says, Satan is the father of lies. And I can say of liars too. In James chapter 1, verse 17, a New Living Translation, it tells us, whatever is good, whatever is perfect, it is a gift come from our God, our Father, who created all lights in heaven. He creates everything. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. There is no change in Him. There is no change in His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. In it, He makes clear His will, His character, as well as His nature. If you know God's Word, then you will know God's character and God's nature. And then He will copy you, you imitate, because that's the image of God that God made in you. In God's Word, He answers the most important questions that every human being having in their minds, which is, where did we come from? There are so thousands and thousands and thousands of questions about where did human being come from? Where all this come from? And yet the Bible answers that very clearly. And then the second question, Who are we? If we don't know where we come from, definitely we won't be able to answer the question, who are we? Are we descendants of monkeys? Are we descendants of a cell that are just evolved? Are we a result of a big bang in the universe? What are we? Or are we designed with love and care by a beloved creator? And the question that many people get confused, even people that carry the Bible in their hands, but because they have twisted the words of God, they have the question, they are very confused sometimes, where are we going to? We see all the time the contradictions of people that claim to be Christians. When they go to the cemetery and decorate it, they spend thousands of dollars to create a grave and everything else, and yet they are told that, oh, your relative, your loved one is not here, is up there somewhere. How many times I'm watching the people playing sports, and they score a goal, or they hit the ball out of the park, and the first thing they do is look somewhere, and they like make signs like they are talking, communicating with the dead over there somewhere. And yet, they go to the cemetery to visit the grave, and they put flowers in the grave, even though they are being taught that the person is not there. Oh yes, it is there, because the Bible says it is. It is there sleeping until the Lord comes to wake them up. It is God's word that tells us that the Word became flesh. And the Bible says Emmanuel, which means the Word is with us. God is with us. And through that Word, He reconciled us with God. This Word provides us warning for disobedience and reward for obedience, with the greatest reward being eternal life. I don't know how many of you have heard the name Francis Bacon. Oh yes, that's a strange name for a person to have, Bacon. Yeah, Francis Bacon, the 15th century scientist credited with developing the scientific method. This is what he said. That's the time when a scientist was allowed to be a Bible believer. This is what he said. There are two books laid before us to study, to prevent us from falling into error. First, the volume of the Scriptures. Oh yes, he said, Scriptures, which reveal the will of God. And then the volume, the other volume of creation, which express God's power. So he says, basically, there are two books out there, and the Spirit Prophecy, Ellen G. White mentioned the same thing. He said there are two books. One is the Bible, and another one is nature. If we study both, it both indicates to us clearly who God is. John Bunyan said this, I was never out of my Bible. I spend day and night with my Bible. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, which is the scripture for today, 3 verse 16, it says that all scripture is the word of God, is inspired by God, is His. His word is a revelation of Himself and His plan for the redemption of you and I, my brothers and sisters, if we keep His word. Yes, a word, a plan, which is divinely accomplished through Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh and came to be with us, the Word that was given to us, the Word that we must keep in our hearts every day so we may have life, the Word that became flesh to redeem the flesh, you and I. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, in the New King James Version, Paul says this to the young church, the Thessalonians, and he says the same thing to us today. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it, not as the word of man, but as it is the truth, in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Another apostle, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, in the New King James as well, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In his Psalms, David used several words to refer to the Word of God. You should read Psalms 19, Psalm 119. You see what he says. He used the law, testimony, precepts, commandments, respect or fear, and instructions. With each reference to God's word, David lists one a companion adjective or characteristic of this word. He says, the word is perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, enduring, true, righteous. And finally, David lists effects of God's word on those that are who accepts the word and keeps the word as well. He says, the word revives. The word makes wise. The word brings rejoicing. The word brings light to those that keeps it. Don't you want to keep his word? He keeps his word. You should keep it as well. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 9. I'm reading now from the Contemporary English Version. It says, verse 7, the law of the Lord, and then it gives the adjective, is perfect. It gives us new life. His teachings, then he says, last forever. By the way, the law is another word for the word. His teachings is another expression to symbolize the word. So his teachings last forever. And they give wisdom. So the teachings give wisdom to ordinary people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. The Lord's instruction, another expression to refer to the Lord's word, it says it is right. It makes our hearts glad, brings us joy. If you haven't tried, try, brothers and sisters, because it does. If you eat the word, if you keep the word, you will have joy, you will have light, you have wisdom, you have understanding, and you have holiness coming to you. His commandments shine brightly, brings light. Why? Because it teaches me the path. Where should I go? They give us light. Verse 9 says, worshiping the Lord is sacred. He will always be worshipped. All of his decisions are correct and fair. Now, John 17:17, we all know this by heart, which says, can you say with me? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Why? Because Jesus is the word. Jesus is the truth. The truth is the word. Look how John puts this very clearly. In 1 John, at the end of your Bible, close to the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. New King James Version is what I'll be reading from. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, 4 and 5. I hope you're taking notes of this because those are excellent Bible verses to share with those that are seeking the truth and intend to keep God's word. It says here, verse 3, Now by this we know that we know him, or know the word, or know the truth, or know Jesus, or know Abba, which is all the same. If we keep his commandments, know the commandments of Rome, know the commandments of man. Because remember Jesus said, you worship me vain because you're replacing the commandments of God with the traditions of man. Or in other words, he was saying, your worship is in vain, is useless. Why? Because you're not keeping our covenant. You're not keeping my word, the word that I gave you. You haven't kept. Instead, you have replaced with another word. So in other words, you're not keeping my word. So now by these we know that we know him. We know that we know the word if we keep his commandments. He who says, oh yes, 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 I know him, I'm a Christian, and does not keep his commandments, it's a liar. And the truth, Jesus Christ, the word, is not in him. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, see how John does? John used word here now as the same, meaning the same as the commandments, meaning the same as truth. So for him, it's synonymous. For John, the commandments, Jesus, the word, is all the same, is all one. That's what John makes sure that we understood. That's why he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. And the truth in the Ten Commandments is the same thing. By the way, what happens to us if God give us his word and we decide to keep only 90% of it? Are we really keeping the word of God if we keep only 90% of it? I used to ask in a baptismal class to our students, I said, what happened to a person who is almost in heaven? Or let me make it more dramatic. What happens to a person who is 99.999% correct? And they learn to say, Pastor, is 100% wrong. Because there is no such thing as 99.999% truth is 100% wrong. The truth cannot be compromised. It's just like, because the truth, the word is God. You cannot imagine God who is 99.99 pure. God cannot be 99.99 pure. God cannot, the word of God cannot be 99.99 almost true. Remember that expression says, I'm 100% sure. There's no way we can have less than 100% with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 2, New King James Version, it gives us this counsel. You shall not add to the word which I command you. Don't try, because you cannot add. Because see, the word of God is already perfect. You cannot add to it. Because if you add, you being imperfect, all you're going to add to the word is imperfection. And then the whole world, the whole word is not going to be perfect anymore. That's why God said, you should not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now, if you open your Bibles also in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, God gives the same advice. Don't add to it. Don't take out from it. If you read Galatians chapter 1, verse 89, Paul says, if even an angel come from heaven, even a messenger come from heaven, it doesn't matter one of us, the apostles, or anybody, or from Rome. Of course, he didn't say that, but he meant that. From Rome or from anywhere. If it comes and tries to add to it, that goes beyond what you already receive, let that be a curse. Yes, read Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. He made very clear that no one, not even somebody coming from heaven, and by the way, if you know the Roman Catholic theology, or we shouldn't call theology, but teachings, spiritual teachings, they claim that God gave the authority to the Bishop of Rome, even to control what the Bible says and change what the Bible says, because he is the representative of God, the Almighty. That's why he calls himself Abba, or in Italian, Pope. That's why he calls himself God. And that's why he says that he can change anything he wants. And that they have. Even today we have a Seventh-day Adventist biblical Christians calls the Sabbath Saturday. Why? Because Rome told them to. We call the Bishop of Rome Abba. And some, I have heard people, religious leaders, go to visit the Vatican and call him Holy Father. Yes. And I'm not just talking about the Argentinian guy. I'm just talking about the position, the office. The Word of God is only one, and it cannot be corrupted. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 4, remember when Satan came to tempt Jesus? Jesus said this when Satan tried to deviate Jesus from concentrating what really he should have to feed himself. He says, but he answered and said, Jesus answered to Satan and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. By the way, brothers and sisters, you notice that in our sermons that we use to talk to you, we use a lot of Bible verses. Yes, quite a few of them. And the reason why is because I want you not to starve. Take this, what Jesus said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word. So the more word that you have, the more stronger you be, the more well-fed you be. And I want to be part of a church where the members are well-fed. Fed from the Word of God. So that your health will be eternal. Your life will be eternal. I want you to be well-fed. The Lord wants you to be well-fed. That's why He gave you His Word. And that's why I'm giving you His Word. In Psalms 119, verse 11, New King James Version says, your word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I'll tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. If you see a Christian that is having problems, spiritual problems, there are problems, Lord, I can tell you, maybe it's because they are not spending enough time on the Word. If you put God's Word in your heart, it will be much harder for you to be distracted and to be deceived by the evil one. Eat the Word. Embrace the Word. Keep the Word. And you will be fed to eternal life. In Romans 15, verse 4, New King James, for whatever things we were written before, they were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. This morning we talked about hope a few times. Yes, if we grasp the Word, we will have patience and we will have the comfort that the Word provides us. And then we'll have hope. Psalms 119, verse 5, New King James as well. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm going to pause here for a moment just to share with something to you. I have here in my hand a Bible that was published in a year long before many of you were even born. I'm trying to look here inside here to see when it was. 1962. Someone gave me this Bible one day because I was a teenager and I was having a problem with my temper. And I have some kind of confusion because I did not know where I came from. I did not know who I was, and I have no idea where I was going. So this man put this Bible in my hand, this young man, and said, "This is going to change your life." I shared this with you before. And just in case that somebody is here and haven't heard before, I'm sharing with you this. It says, "This will change your life." I have here in my hand. I read this entire book, and by the time I finished, I had no other choice but to be completely surrender my life to Christ. He gave me His Word, and that day, 1968, at the age of 16, I gave him my Word. He said that He will keep His Word, and I told Him that day, I'm going to keep my Word as well. And brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, I have not changed my word. I intend to keep it forever. I make another Bible that I have here. This is the first Bible that I had. Then I got another Bible that I went to college to study theology. And then I have the third Bible that I received in the day that I was ordained into the ministry. All those three Bibles, they have a lot of notes. I believe that just by looking at those Bibles, people can see my journey with the Word. I'll say this to you, brothers and sisters. I hope you have also a history with the Word. In Psalms 119, verse 51 says, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." In verse 160 of 119, Psalm 119, King James also says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever." We as the people of the word. Oh yes, the reason why I am a Seventh-day Adventist is not because my family was a Seventh-day Adventist, or because somebody came to my house and told me, or because I saw a light on the sky and they told me Seventh-day Adventist. The reason why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist is because of the profound respect that this church has for the Word. I went to a Baptist church. I attend for many years a Presbyterian school where I finished my high school. I attend Presbyterian services. I attend Pentecostal service. I read about 100 different denominations. But one thing that attracted me to make my decision to become a Seventh-day Adventist is because the Seventh-day Adventist Church is truly the people of the Word. I have here in my hand a baptismal vow. Number 5 says this: "I believe that the Bible, the Word of God, is God's inspired Word, the only," and this only makes a distinction between our church and the thousands of other churches, because it says the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian. And that's what the Word of God says. There is no other. There is no other name by which we should be saved by Christ, the Redeemer, the Mediator. And He is the Word. I am part of this church. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist because this church received the word from God and decided to keep 100%. decided not to adulterate just to accommodate. Yes, being a Seventh-day Adventist is not easy in the very corrupt world that we live. And it's going to become a little bit harder. I'm sorry, but that's the bad news. But the good news is that God always has been with the people of the Word. Because He's the Word, He will sanctify us as we spend time with the Word. And He will deliver His people. And at the end, the Bible says the remnant is the one who keeps the Word and keeps the faith of Jesus Christ. Because of His Word, in His Word, through His Word, by His Word, the Word that He gave us, we see an incredible picture of God's goodness and grace. Without His Word, we wouldn't be able to know our beloved Creator and know of His infinite love for us. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, John 8:47 says, "He who is God hears God's words." He who is of God hears God's words. In other words, if you belong to God, you listen to His word. Therefore, you do not hear, and Jesus was saying this to someone, because you do not hear, you're not of God. So if you want to be of God, listen to His word. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word, and not just hearers only. Don't deceive yourselves," because there are a lot of people who go to church, but the church never arrives at them. They go through the church. The church is not a funeral home. A church is not a cemetery. The church is a place where we go to have life, to feed from the Word, and be with the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself, my brother and sister, to God. Present as a work who does not need to be ashamed, because you know how to use the word of the truth to divide, to understand, to rightly do so." In Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I can have a clear conscience this morning that I share with you the word of God and nothing else. And I hope that you have been fed, and I hope that the word that I gave to you, it is the same word that God gave to me. At 3:00, in the right side of the tree of life, I always make a commitment with my church members. I want to meet you there. 3:00, the right side of the tree of life. The first day that we get into eternity, I give my word, I will be there. I give my word that I'll be there, not because I have merits or because of my own doing, but because the Lord gave me His word that He wants to take me there. So I want to meet you there also, my brother and sister. Now, let me share an illustration to close our message today. A former park ranger at the Yellowstone National Park tells the story of a ranger leading a group of hikers to a fire lookout. The ranger was so intent on telling the hikers about the flowers and how unique were the flowers in that place, the animals, they're very unique animals that live in that part of the park, that he considered the message that he was getting to his two-way radio very distracting. So was this, disturbing him. So what he did, he switched it off. And he kept telling the hikers, "Oh, here this stone or this, And this, and suddenly, somebody came running, breathless, looking out for him, and asked him, "Why haven't you responded the message that we sent to you by radio? What happens to your radio?" He said, "Oh, it was bothering me, I turned it off." He said, "What is the message?" He says, "A grizzly bear had been seen stalking you and your group, and the authorities are trying to warn you against this terrible danger. Don't ever turn off your radio. You may lose your life and the life of others you are guiding." Brothers and sisters, I must tell you this morning, don't turn off the message from God that God has sent to you. Don't turn off the Word, because the Word is the way that the Lord communicates with you. He tells you where there is danger. He corrects you. He teaches you. He guides you through His Word. And He feeds you through His Word. For you to have strength, for you to have life, for you to have Him, you must keep His Word. We put all at peril, not only ourselves, but also those around us, when we choose not to keep God's Word, or when we choose to try to change it, to accommodate our sinful ways and desires. How important it is that we never turn off God's saving communication to us. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in the Father who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord give you a spirit of hungry for His Word. Eat, my brother. Eat God's Word. The Word that He gave to you. Because that Word gives you life. Keep His Word. Keep your Word. May God bless you. Amen.